kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
We are not to be believers based on your own terms. We are not to be believers based on your own terms. We're told in the Bible, in Malachi 3:6, that God never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Man changes, societies change, history changes, but God doesn't. He doesn't change. And you see, God is going to deal with us. He's going to deal with our unbelief. He's going to deal with our sin. He's going to deal with our compromise, all those things that we have picked up in the world. We know that it's even worse now with the great apostasy and the great falling away. You see, we want God, but we don't want him to tell us what to do. And that's a lot of our trouble. We like the idea of God. We like the idea of salvation. We like the idea that Jesus has gone to the cross, paid the price, paid for my sin and so forth. But just don't tell me what to do. And you see, for some, it comes as a bit of a shock. You see, we want to hear from God, but we want to hear on our own terms. And these are the problems that we have as believers. And this is why I always go back to the fact that salvation is a miraculous work. It is so contrary to our nature, our thinking, our behaviour, the way we walk, the way we plan our life, our destiny, and so on. It is a miracle when God, the power of God's word and spirit, can turn us completely around and get us to walk in a completely different course. It is miraculous. And I stress that because it is the power of God that is needed in our lives to be able to walk this walk, to be able to face each day. It is a power that is beyond ourselves. In fact, we know it's the very power that raised Christ from the dead is the very power that works within us. And we begin then to learn when we realize that this is something I cannot do in myself, but this is the power and grace and love and mercy of God. This is where we start to give him the glory and the praise. Because this is where spiritually God educates us. Because we all came very much on the basis of following the Lord on our own terms. We saw that sin separates us from God, and sin has to be dealt with, and rebellion. But it's not until we start to walk with the Lord do we then begin to find that his ways are not always what we think they are. You see, at times we are all deceived in these areas, and this is what causes many to go back, who don't continue to follow with the Lord. The Lord himself had this. He had many followers, but the word of God, his ministry, challenged them, and many of them went back, and he was left with the 12, and one of them betrayed him. So that tells us something, that we are to come before God and to follow him daily with no preconceived ideas, no planning, no working your future, your life, your destiny out, because you're going to be in for a great shock otherwise. And you see, if we want our own way, and I have seen this with Christians, I've seen it in the assembly, who are determined to have their own way with God, depression starts to set in, and then anger and resentment, and it takes the grace and mercy of God. The Lord said something of this in Jeremiah 45, Jeremiah chapter 45 and verse 5, where he was assuring Barak, the great warrior, the great fighter for Israel that was to put down the Canaanites. He said this in verse 5, "And do you seek great things for yourself? Do not seek them, for behold, I will bring adversity on all flesh, says the Lord. But I will give your life to you as a prize in all places wherever you go." So the Lord clearly was showing that if he doesn't seek these things for himself, for his own gain, then God will give his life will be a blessing and it will be a prize in all places, wherever he goes, because he was a great fighter, a great warrior, commander. And so, in other words, putting down the enemy, bringing peace and blessing. That's what he's referring to there to Barak. And it's similar with us. You see, are you seeking great things for yourself or to get closer to God? And we, all of us, when we first come into this walk and the deeper life, and we begin to see all these promises that God has given to us, you know, we really get carried away with them. You know, you're reading them, and many times it's mind-blowing that God said he'll do this and he'll do that and bless and so on. But we have to remember that these promises have conditions attached to them. One of which that we put Christ first. That is always the principle. But you see, when we first come to the Lord, we're very zealous and we don't really fully appreciate and understand that. And this, of course, is where the long-suffering and gentleness and mercy of God works on our behalf. You see, most of the things that we ask often, you know, they're things that just come and go. They're immaterial. They're stupid things at times we can ask for. But you see, we don't often ask to seek him and what he can give, or what may be right for me. What is right for a brother or sister may not be necessarily right for me. We see, don't we, in the body of Christ, how God blesses, but how he can sometimes bless in certain ways or certain areas with a brother or a sister. And that is right for them. But God will always bless you, will always meet your needs, your requirements, what are right for you. Because God knows us better than we know ourselves. And he knows what is right for us. Or he knows sometimes what to withhold from us for a season. Because he knows us better than we know ourselves. And this is why we're called in this teaching. We're not to be believers based on your own terms, because otherwise you are going to be disappointed. That is in the flesh. You see, if you only ask for things, you never really understand what surrender means, the cross. You're just a Christian that is based on your own terms. And this is why God presents in the deeper life, which we teach, not only surrender, but surrendering to the cross, that we are daily to take up and follow the Lord, because we know that the cross deals with the self life or the selfish life in us that wants its own way. It will crucify those passions, those desires, those lusts. As I've said before, you settle it, Romans 12:1, and the Holy Spirit will do the rest, the same as the Spirit of God crucified our Saviour. The Lord knows how to crucify those areas, because you see, they are a hindrance now to our new life and walk in Christ. They are not blessings to you, because you're lusting after those blessings. You're manipulating, you're trying to work those blessings into your life, and they don't happen. And as we surrender to the cross and we become one with him, then we begin to find his desires become our desires. His wants become our wants. His needs become our needs. This is why we say Christ in you, the hope of glory. And then when you become one with him, then you can find, you can see these promises in God's word in a different light, with a different understanding. Because what you are believing for, praying for, or whatever, is always first for the glory of God and not just for me and what I want. And there is the difference. We have been created and made for worship, to praise him. That is what he created us for, and that is what he's restoring us back, that Adam and Eve forfeited in the garden. He's restoring that back to us, so that we have those grateful and thankful hearts before the Lord that we're to have. But if you're a Christian that's based on your own terms and conditions, it ain't going to work. And sadly, that is why a lot go back after a time and no longer walk with the Lord. There's just something about them that refuses to accept that. Turn with me, if you will, to Matthew 7 and verse 7. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. And he says here, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. You see, when you ask here and when you knock, it's not because you're asking for the wrong things. You've had light. You've had revelation. You have seen the promises of God's word. You have seen that God says, I will bless you. I will give this to you. Because our Father is a generous Father. Very generous. Very giving. And sometimes it requires that knocking for a season, in which the door will be opened. Because there are times when God is looking to see if we really are trusting and believing. He's sometimes watching to see how desperate we are for that which is needed. And there are needs in this world. The very fact that we live in this world, needs arise. Our bills have to be paid. And jobs to be found, and various things. Life just throws those needs up. But of course, he has told us, if you seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, then all these things will be added unto you. We're not even to, t- to give thought to those things, those practical things that the world throws up to us that we need to deal with. He says, I will give, and he does give. And sometimes it is required for a season to knock in prayer, to keep at it, to keep pressing in, not keep asking. You only need to ask once. But sometimes after that asking once, believing, standing upon the word of God, his promises, sometimes it requires prayer or praying in the spirit, or sometimes we call it pressing in. There's a place in prayer where you press in, and the Holy Spirit will show you that. He will quicken that to you. Sometimes when you're believing for a loved one or the salvation of somebody in your family, sometimes you need to stay with it and keep pressing in for their salvation. This is why the Holy Spirit comes to lead and guide and teach us in all of these things. But one thing you will learn, brothers and sisters, when you draw closer to him, you will cease asking why. Why didn't it happen? And so on, which we've all done. Because when you get closer to him and become one with him, you'll find that that begins to cease. Why? Because you're seeing the bigger picture. You are beginning to see God's mind and heart in this situation or what he's doing. But of course, we don't see that when we're first saved. And this is why we cannot follow God on our terms. It's very important to understand this one. What does it say in Matthew 6 and verse 8? Matthew 6 and verse 8. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. In this manner, therefore, pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name, and so on. So he's showing again how to pray to the disciples. He's showing us how to pray, to get to know him. Did you know that that is what prayer is about first and foremost? Prayer is not about asking for your needs. It's about getting to know him. Do you remember a few weeks ago we were talking on prayer? And we showed you that it's like his will and your will becoming one in harmony and agreement. That is what prayer is about. So that I am one with him and he's one with me as we are praying and interceding and supplicating. That is how Jesus prayed. Sometimes he prayed through the night. And he was praying with his will and his Father's will, and they became one in agreement. And that is why the Spirit of God was able to do the things that he did through him. He had no preconceived ideas. He wasn't laying the conditions. We know how our Savior walked. He revealed very clearly in John that he knew nothing unless it was revealed. He walked by the Spirit. He didn't know what was round the next corner or who he was going to meet or whatever need was needed or whatever miracle would take place or where he was going to teach or what he was going to say. He was led by the Spirit. The same with us, Romans 8. To those who are baptized, filled with the Spirit. That's why we're not to work out tomorrow or next week or next year, but take each day by faith and what comes in it. Why? Because it's all about getting to know him, relationship. When you ask God something, do you tell him why you want it? Sometimes we need to ask God that we need a certain amount, or a certain amount of money is required, Lord, to pay a bill or to give to someone or whatever it is. So sometimes there is a place to be specific and not waver in that, but believe that God will meet that need. But as I say, all of this comes out as you get to know him, as you walk close with him. These things just happen. It's like naturally breathing. You will find that the Spirit of God, your Father, is communicating with you. And he's showing you something, or he wants you to pray about this particular thing, or this person, or whatever it would be. That's why he's come back, to teach us, to lead us, and guide us, just like our Saviour walked. And we are to have the same affection for our Father that Jesus Christ had for his Father. It's no different. You see, God isn't concerned so much about making you happy, but he's continuing to make you more like him. And we have to remember that. It's not about being happy or happiness. That can have its place. But God doesn't work like that, not like we do. He works at a much deeper level, because everything he's doing in your life is to make you like him, to conform like him, to live like him, your actions like him. That is what he's doing. And we have to remember this as believers. And this is where we yield over to the Spirit by the cross that we bear, and we allow the life of Christ in us to start to live his life. Have you ever asked God, Lord, live your life through me? No longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. Live your life each day through me. I think that's a good prayer to pray, I think. And I believe it's one that none of us would doubt in unbelief when we pray it, because we know that that is the Father's will. That is the Father's heart. That is what he wants to hear from you. And he'll do it. And he'll know how to glorify his name through you. He'll be able to take you that extra mile that you can't do in the natural. He'll give you that strength. He'll renew your youth like the eagles. He'll help you to love the unlovable. And all those things that we in ourselves just cannot do. And this is why God brings along our side people at times we cannot get on with. We find hard to communicate, or that just it brings the worst out of me. There is a reason for that, because God is going to love through you and reach out to them and touch those hard hearts as you yield over. Now, how he does it, that's miraculous. This is why our whole walk as a Christian is a miracle. Because everything he does can't be done in the natural. That's the whole point. And so he's not, as I've said, he's not concerned about making you so happy, but making you more like him. We know this because Jesus prayed that priestly prayer in John 17, and look at verse 22. John 17 and verse 22. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one, just as we are one. Have you ever read that prayer? Read it again. Meditate on it, what Jesus prayed. And he says, the glory which you gave me, I have given them. Wow. That glory that was on Christ. The Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, the sin bearer, to redeem us, to bring us back in fellowship with our Heavenly Father. That glory that was on him, he says, I share that with them also, that they may be one just as we are one. No different. The same oneness and unity of the Spirit is the same oneness and unity that you have with Christ, you have with your Father, you have with the Godhead. No different. The problem is we don't believe it. And sadly, it's not taught today in a lot of churches. We hear too much of what God is not doing today. And we've got to start to believe. Because here it is. This is what Jesus has prayed. He has prayed that over you and me. And does his prayers go unanswered? Does the Father turn his back on his prayers? Not at all. That is going to be answered. If God has decreed it, he has decreed that you will be one with him just as Christ was one with the Father. I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. He's made you one. He's making you one. He's working that in your life and heart, that the world will see that God loves you. You are his. Your witness, your testimony, your life, your walk. You may be saying to yourself, well, I don't feel I'm much use at all. Well, we've said this before. God knows how to glorify his life, his name through you. Just yield over. Just do what he shows. And the world will see it. Your family will see it. They will know. There's somebody who certainly does know, and that is the devil. And that's why he tries to attack you and is after you like he is. That is always the good giveaway, because you are one with the Father, and he hates that, because it's exposing dark. You are light bearers wherever you go. Did you know that? What God has placed in you and on you and through you, you divide darkness and bring light. Trust me in this. And when you're in prayer and intercession as well, then it's exposed. That is why God has placed the light in the church. It's a beacon. It's to shine. What is this light in the church? It is the redeemed. It is those who are gloriously saved, filled with the Spirit. You are the light that lights the church. And Christ takes his rightful head over it, you see. You see, often we don't receive because we still have areas where we're saying no to the Lord. No, I don't want to do this. No, I don't want to go there, or whatever it would be. I've had to learn that one as a minister and as a teacher. There were some places that God wanted me to go and teach the word, and I didn't want to go. And God was really dealing with me. He was dealing with my attitude, my heart, hardness of heart, until I surrendered. And there are just these things sometimes that in our flesh we don't want to do it. And we give all excuses as to why we don't want to do it. But you see, we surrender to Him. We allow the Spirit to work through us. There are times sometimes we just don't want to pray or go to the prayer meeting. There are sometimes we just, oh, I don't want to listen to the word tonight. I want to have a rest instead, or whatever it would be. All of these things, we all face them. But we know what our Father wants. And we find ourselves at the end of the day simply yielding, and then the Spirit begins to work. And very often you find then you're blessed and you think, what was all that fuss about? And you realise sometimes it's the enemy wanting to stop you from doing the will of God. We've all been there. We know what it's like. But as I end with this, we have to learn, brothers and sisters, that this walk is not on our own terms. God is working to get us in to the kingdom of heaven. That is our eternal abode. We're simply pilgrims passing through this world, this life. This world is not our home. It is not our foundation. It's not our future, our eternity. It's impossible if you're a Christian. This is why we're to look upwards. And this is why it says in Ephesians that we are seated with Him in heavenly places. All of these wonderful verses and promises are there for a reason. And that is why God isn't going to let our heart and affection be in this world. Because the children of Israel failed on that one. It's called idolatry. And idolatry today is still lusting for the things of the world, relying upon the arm of the flesh and so on. And it will always let you down. But God never lets us down. He is ever faithful, ever attentive. And He's constantly showing us that His spiritual blessings far, far outweigh the blessings and lusts of the world. So we have to be wise. We have to think at times, am I following the Lord on my own terms, or is it His will? We always pursue the will of God in everything. And sometimes we're not going to like His will, but His will is always perfect in every situation. And our Lord learned that one. He learnt the will of His Father, and He settled the Father's will in the Garden of Gethsemane, where He sweat as drops of blood. He settled the cross. And all then that took place was the Romans had to take Him and crucify Him. You always settle in prayer before God. That is where a thing is settled. And if we're still believers wanting our own way on our own terms, go before God and wait before him and get into prayer until he puts his will, his heart, his affection in you. And then that is a clear sign you are one with him. Well, there we are, brothers and sisters. I trust that you have been blessed, and the Lord loves us, and we're each of us on a walk, a journey with him, but we've got the confidence to know that he started that work and he will complete and finish it.
Constancy, follow the master.